Alaskans have good reason to be nervous about potential executive actions by the federal government to protect land. Before the Alaska Lands Act was passed in 1980, then-President Jimmy Carter and his Interior Secretary Cecil Andrews protected more than 100 million acres here. The move sparked resentments in Alaska that still smolder today. APRN's Steve Heimel tells us more.
The Congress had been unable to decide what to do about Alaska for 8 years and was in its winter recess when President Carter invoked the Antiquities Act, protecting 56 million acres of new national monuments. Interior Secretary Andrus followed up with another 40 million acres of national wildlife refuges. Neither Bristol Bay nor Teshikpuk Lake would be eligible for monument designation, but other protections might be possible. University of Alaska Anchorage history professor Steve Haycock says that stalemates and long-standing unresolved controversies are the reason Congress decided to give President Theodore Roosevelt the power to create national monuments in the Antiquities Act of 1905.
The Antiquities Act has always been used by the president to set aside areas that Congress can't set aside because there's too much controversy about them.
But Alaskans went ballistic when President Carter took his own action while Congress was out of town. In Anchorage, there was an attempt to call a citywide general strike. There were widespread calls to secede from the Union. There was a march on Mount McKinley National Park that even proved fatal for one protester. Congress went back to work on Alaska lands the following year. The battle was as white hot as ever. All kinds of tactics were employed, with bills being gutted and filled with the contents of other bills and repeated filibuster threats from Senator Mike Gravel. Haycock says President Carter's ploy basically didn't work.
They were a political tactic to try to force Congress to act because the time was running out and Gravel had filibustered and intended to filibuster to force Congress to go back and start over. And Andrus and Carter didn't want that, and neither did the Congress. The second thing about the Carter-Andrus withdrawals is that they did not work. They didn't force Congress to come up with a bill. It was the election of Ronald Reagan in November of 1980 that forced Mo Udall to throw in the towel, get a hold of Stevens and say, okay, we'll accept H.R. 39, the compromise bill, because if we don't, we're going to be left with nothing.
The final outcome of all that, however, was not all that different from what Carter and Andrus had set aside in the first place. Haycock says in all the time the Antiquities Act has existed, no designation has been reversed by Congress. But could Congress come back and impose protections on more lands in Alaska, even after coming down with its final deal in the Alaska Lands Act of 1980? Haycock says you betcha it could.
Congress can do whatever it wants to do, whenever it wants to do. And like in any lawyer's office anywhere in the world, nothing is ever finally settled. So Alaskans can say, well, it said no more after Anilka in 1980. Well, that was 1980.
Haycock says without knowing the players, it's hard to know how serious the idea of federal protection for Teshikpuk Lake and Bristol Bay is. It might, he says, have been a trial balloon. In Anchorage, I'm Steve Heimel.